Well, sort of discouraged and encouraged all at the same time. You know, it is discouraging to think that we got 16 million of our kids in this country live in families where there's not consistent access to adequate food. You know, that's, you know, one in five of our kids. That's pretty depressing. But at the same time, we're finding that there's been great results coming about from Breakfast After the Bell, which we're all about launching there in Montana, and we're going to Arkansas first and then going to Montana. You know, that's very uplifting news that there have been, like here in Los Angeles, this superintendent about a year and a half ago, the school superintendent, he thought, well, I'm going to experiment with this Breakfast After the Bell and put it into 30 schools. And he did that, and it was such a success that he mandated a year and a half later that over 600 schools use this Breakfast After the Bell program. So that's, you know, that's encouraging.
And I think that plus the fact that it's such a solvable problem. You know, kids here in the United States aren't hungry because of war or famine or drought like they are around the rest of the world. Here we have the resources, we have the food, and we have programs like school lunch and school breakfast and summer meals that are paid for, and kids just aren't accessing them. So I think one of the things that kind of keeps us encouraged about this is that, you know, we know it's a solvable problem, and we're seeing great progress, even though the economy's made it harder.
And, of course, solving the problem really comes down in part to solving the stigma and trying to work around that. And that's what this new Breakfast After the Bell program is about. Tell me how that helps address the problem of hungry kids trying to avoid the stigma.
Well, there's, you know, there's also a logistic problem, you know, getting to school early, getting the early bus to get to school, to eat in the cafeteria all by yourself, you know, and you get that stigma of being the poor kid who has to go through that. A lot of kids would rather just forget about the embarrassment and just go hungry, just so they can avoid the embarrassment of that. Or it's just a logistic thing, you know, getting a kid to school is a kind of a challenge for the parents anyway, but to get them there early, you know, that's more of a challenge. So many of these kids that are eligible aren't getting the breakfast, you know, and of course, as you know, you need to be nutritionally satisfied to learn. You know, your brain has got to be fed to learn.
And tell me, Mr. Shore, exactly how the Breakfast After the Bell erases that stigma and how that works exactly.
Yeah, so, well, if you think about it like lunch, you know, so all the kids are there at lunch together and they all have, you know, lunch at the same time. Breakfast After the Bell ensures that that'd be the same. And so there's, you know, a variety of different options. One is breakfast in the classroom. So, you know, in the first 10 minutes of first period or homeroom or however the school's structured, everybody has something to eat together. So, you know, you don't, as Jeff was just saying, you don't have to be the kid that has to get there early and stand out in that way. So that solves the problem both logistically and in terms of stigma. That's not the only alternative. You can also do grab-and-go breakfasts or have a cart, you know, near the front door of the school, so as kids come in, they can grab a, you know, a box with, you know, cereal and fruit and a muffin and that type of thing. And, you know, what we're seeing is that when you move to Breakfast After the Bell, the participation rates go up from, you know, the average in Montana is about 45% of the kids who are eligible get breakfast, and that's pretty similar to almost everywhere else in the country. Except for a few states who have really been very aggressive on this. And when you do Breakfast After the Bell, that goes up to about 90 or 95%. And kids are, you know, in their seat on time. They know that's when breakfast is being served. There's fewer visits to the nurse's office. There's less tardiness. There's better attendance. You start to see correlations with reading on grade level and other types of academic performance that suggest at the end of the day, this is really, you know, an education issue as much as it is anything else.
What would the two of you like to see the average citizen do to help in this fight? And certainly people participate in holiday food drives and things like that, trying to deal with hunger issues. But what would you most like to see happen?
Well, I think that's, you know, that's a wonderful thing to do. I love the title of Billy's organization, Share Our Strength. And I think we all have different strengths. And I would like to encourage folks to go to nokidhungry.org/breakfast and find out which of their strengths that they might lend to this, you know, great cause. I mean, of course, you know, donating to support No Kid Hungry is, you know, very helpful. But like you say, volunteering, you know, food drives and that sort of thing. Also, you might identify the schools in their community that don't have these breakfast after the bell, and people can do what they can to inform the schools about these programs and do everything they can to make sure that the schools have breakfast after the bell.
Well, I have been speaking with actor Jeff Bridges and Mr. Bill Shore. Both of them are talking about the No Kid Hungry campaign, which is an effort to end childhood hunger in America. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.